2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we, who are alive, are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, we thank you that you have spoken a word that is firm, a word that is sufficient. Thank you that here in the scriptures, you've told us everything that we need to know for that life of faith and godliness. We pray that you might be strengthening that foundation in our hearts and minds to your glory. Amen. As we saw last week, Paul is addressing the issue of losing heart. It was there at the start of the chapter, and it's there again at verse 16. We do not lose heart. He's wanting to gain the support of these Corinthians for his style of ministry. He's wanting to recruit us and keep us in that work of steady, straightforward gospel proclamation, and not to grow weary when plans get frustrated, or when people are frustrating, or when gospel sharing seems to be so futile. Those who've been to so many men's breakfasts and not been converted. And so we lose heart. We stop inviting. There were some great reasons not to lose heart as we looked at those opening verses last week. So, for example, back in verse 1, this ministry of gospel proclamation has been given to us by God. That's a pretty good reason not to lose heart. It's been put into our hands by God himself. Or at verse 6, it's through the preaching of this gospel that people come to know the glory of God in the face of Christ. Wow! That's the impact that gospel preaching has. It's had that impact on many of us, hasn't it? And it will do so in others. So don't lose heart, says Paul. Don't give up being involved in this sort of ministry. Now in this next section, still with that same aim, Paul introduces us to his experience of such gospel ministry. His was a ministry that seemed very weak, that looked very feeble. in Corinth, image and appearance mattered very much, as they do today. A weak bodily presence was one of the many criticisms that Paul had to face. It was no easier to have confidence in such a feeble-looking ministry than it is today. So in order to achieve his aim, that we do not lose heart with such gospel ministry, Paul gives us three key insights. And by the way, since the experience of every Christian looks just as feeble, what he says here will help us not to lose heart more generally. So first of all, the paradox of gospel ministry, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. In likening himself to a jar of clay, Paul is not referring to that priceless vase that you have on your mantelpiece. No, these are cheap clay pots that cost next to nothing, easily broken, easily replaced. Puts me in mind of the various takeaway containers that Dee Dee has accumulated over the years and now wishes to transport to Northampton. That wasn't really very fair. But in that clay pot, there is the divine power of the gospel. This gospel which brings the knowledge of God's glory. This gospel which is to some the fragrance of life, chapter 2. And which is more glorious than anything in the Old Covenant, chapter 3. Where has God put the priceless treasure that is the message of Jesus Christ? Answer, in gospel servants. Gospel ministry is clay pot ministry. God places this glorious message in the equivalent of polystyrene takeaway trays. Paul wants us to know that anyone engaged in the work of sharing the gospel will always feel like one of those pots. Weak, feeble, fragile, and utterly normal. And yet even as we feel like that, the priceless treasure of the message of Jesus Christ is within and can be shining out. If we don't get hold of this combination of human weakness and divine power, then other ministries which are outwardly more impressive will be very attractive to us. We'll be drawn to ministries which are publicly powerful, led by impressive individuals. And if we don't get hold of this combination in our own lives, then don't be surprised if we grow weary of the normal Christian life, normal Christian service. Don't be surprised if discontentment and self-pity begin to flourish. When we experience hardship, we'll think that we're getting the Christian life wrong. Or we'll move off to some other form of Christian message which looks more triumphant, which promises gain without pain. We'll end up teaching a false gospel, which gives people a wrong expectation of Christian living, one victory after another. And when it doesn't turn out like that, well, the disappointment that makes a shipwreck of their faith and they lose heart. There's the paradox of Christian life and ministry. The divine power of the gospel in human clay pots. Next he speaks of his experience of Christian ministry. In verses 8 and 9, he lines up four pairs of words to explain what clay pot ministry feels like. in each pair, the second word is far more powerful than the first. The second is the outworking of God's power. So, number one, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. The Greek word hard-pressed is used for the pressure of a large crowd. It's the surge of a football crowd before they made everybody sit down. Paul's experience of Christian ministry was pressure from every side. And yet he experienced the power of God to deliver him, to keep him going. Hard-pressed, but not crushed. Next, perplexed, but not in despair. The Greek word perplexed means unsure. Paul was at a loss and unsure. Maybe unsure about how the ministry might go forwards when the diary is overloaded, when energy levels have hit rock bottom, when resources seem to have dried up. But not in despair, not completely at a loss. In the midst of uncertainty, the mighty power of God means that the gospel servant is not driven to despair as they proclaim the gospel. Next one, persecuted but not abandoned. Persecuted literally means chased after, hunted down. It's not unusual for Christians engaged in God's work to find themselves under some sort of attack from those who want to silence them. It's something that brothers and sisters in other parts of the world have known for a long time. And I think it's on the increase here. In schools, there's significant pressure on Christian teachers to teach material that goes against their beliefs and conscience. In many workplaces, the approval of diversity policies which do not accord with God's design is expected and demanded. Our government seeks to tackle extremism with so-called British values with a tolerance that turns out to be intolerant of anyone claiming to have the truth. But in all of this, the Christian is not abandoned by our Heavenly Father, not now or in eternity. Number four, struck down but not destroyed. Here it's a word from the boxing ring. Knocked over. Sent to the floor. Huge setbacks in gospel work might be experienced. A church plant that doesn't succeed. A Christian leader who betrays the faith. A key worker who deploys elsewhere. Knocked over, but not knocked out. In Paul's ministry of gospel proclamation, he is hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down, but God's power keeps him going. Next comes his explanation of gospel ministry. At first sight, verse 11 seems to be just a repetition of verse 10. But in verse 10, Paul actively takes up the death of Jesus in his body. He is continually showing in the death of Jesus. He's so convinced of the treasure of this message that he's willing to keep putting himself to death so that the life-giving message of Christ can be revealed as he speaks. Contrast verse 11, it's passive. Paul is given over to death, with God as the agent, and not always as Paul might choose. He's so sure that the truth of Jesus is essential for his hearers that he's prepared to be given over to extraordinary suffering at the hands of those who listen to him, so that the truth might be revealed as he speaks, and thus life be at work in them. He explains that more fully in verses 12 to 15, which we'll come to in a moment. So Paul is prepared to step out of his comfort zone, to be downwardly mobile, to forgo his rights, his reputation, his rank. Such death to self is at the heart of his ministry. He preached Christ crucified, and his life was shaped the same way. And the challenge to the Corinthians and to us today is to boast in, to share in, to take part in that sort of ministry. Paul's not concerned about the satisfaction that he'll get from doing it, or that his range of gifts is fully used, or that he will feel personal fulfillment. He's not concerned with what he can get out of it. Rather, it's all about being a servant, a slave, to whoever he might proclaim the gospel. Will we boast in such a ministry? Will we throw our weight behind that sort of ministry? Are we ourselves prepared to be slaves to those whom we seek to reach? Did you notice the always at the start of verse 10? It's easy to want to avoid such a pattern, to cushion ourselves from the tougher experiences, to keep our heads down when the bullets are flying. But Paul is saying we can't avoid it if we're going to be active in Christian ministry. So, having seen how tough it is, the question that must be answered is why? Why does God make it so hard? In a culture where image and appearance matter so much, why make gospel proclamation look so weak and feeble? Well, Paul gives four reasons in order for us not to lose heart. Reason number one, clay pot ministry shows the power belongs to God. Verse 1, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. To show that the power of the message is nothing to do with us. There are some forms of Christianity around today that give the impression that God's way of operating is to remove from our lives all of the obstacles, all the suffering, all the hardship. So all the publicity is full of smiling, beautiful people. But all through this letter, there are verses telling us not only that God chooses to work through clay pot ministry, but why? Do you remember chapter 1, verse 9? In our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Later on we get to chapter 12, verse 9. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is God's method. There is no other way. His church looks like a clay pot. His people are self-evidently clay pots. It is all so that the power can be clearly seen to be from him. He entrusts his glorious treasure, the message of Jesus Christ, to ordinary, frail, weak men and women, so that the power of the gospel can be clearly seen to be from him. So our expectations should not be any different. It's tempting to want to rewrite these verses without mention of the clay pots. We have this treasure. We are not crushed. We're never at a loss. We always know what we ought to be doing. We're never hassled. We're never set back by anything. And were it so, we would surely be marvelling at Paul. His letters, read all around the world, more influential than the writings of any other person in history. But Paul doesn't want us to look at him. He's at pains to tell us that he is just a clay pot. And the power in his ministry was God's alone. We should expect every Christian servant to be following the same pattern. Be wary of any Christian leader who gives a different impression. How tempting it is to draw up a list of if-onlys. If only we had Christian heroes in the public square. If only we were better at social media or on a personal level. If only I were more articulate. If only I didn't have to lead that home group. Ministry would be so much easier. If only we were living in the time of the Welsh Revival. But Paul is telling us that this is God's way of doing things. Human weakness and divine power together. This is normal, to show that the power is his alone. We shouldn't expect it to be any different for us. Reason number two, the life of Jesus is seen. Verse 10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life might be revealed in our mortal body. In each of those clay pot examples, there was relief and deliverance. Paul was not crushed, not driven to despair, not abandoned, not destroyed. And he described that deliverance as the life of Jesus. As Paul kept going in gospel ministry, people would no doubt ask, how does he do this? How does he keep going? Where does he get his strength from? And they would see, it would only be the life-giving deliverance of Jesus. It would be easy, wouldn't it, to think that such weakness would be a disaster for Christian witness, and so miss the life-giving impact that can be had on others when coupled with gospel, with proclamation. So don't lose heart. If Christians look impressive in the eyes of the world, it would be that much harder to see the life of Jesus. Hudson Taylor, a Christian missionary of the 19th century, had delicate health. At one point he had to return home because of ill health. Several of his children died as infants. Their mission premises were attacked, looted and burned with such vigour that the Royal Navy turned up to help. The death of Jesus was hugely evident in his life. And so too was the resurrection life of Jesus, keeping him going. Our challenge is to boast in and be confident in such ministry that is similarly weak. Reason number three, the life of Jesus brings life to others. Verses 12 to 15. Verse 12 brings a shift. Again he says, death is at work in us. But then in the second half he says, not life in us, as verse 10 and 11, but life is at work in you. God works through Paul's sufferings and struggles to bring eternal life to others. As Paul is afflicted and perplexed, persecuted, struck down, God is at work bringing life to others. How that happens is explained. Verses 13 to 15. He quotes Psalm 116. I believed, therefore I have spoken. The writer of that psalm was in a death-like situation. But he believed that it was God who delivered him. And then he spoke about that deliverance to others. Well, the parallels to Paul's situation are clear. And likewise, Paul keeps on speaking the gospel. But verse 14, Paul has an additional motivation. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus, and present us with you in his presence. Paul knows that we all have a future meeting with Jesus. And the knowledge of that energizes and encourages him to go on speaking the gospel. He wants people to be ready for that day. Verse 15, it will be a day of tremendous joy and celebration. When all those who've trusted Jesus now will meet him with thanksgiving and glory to God. And Paul wants, will do anything to make sure that they're not led astray, but ready for that day. He's prepared to be hard-pressed, perplexed, struck down. But he doesn't lose heart. He keeps speaking the gospel. Because that's how life comes to others. And in the final paragraph, it is that future which is his fourth reason not to lose heart. There is a future. He says, though outwardly we are wasting away. Some of us are all too aware of outwardly wasting away. But Paul is not just talking about getting old. It's the troubles that come with serving Jesus. But he knows that being battered and bruised for Jesus is part and parcel of the road to eternal glory. It's the normal Christian life while we wait for glory. Paul isn't making light of such troubles, but he realizes that they cause him to fix his eyes on what is unseen, verse 18. And as he does so, he realizes that those troubles, in comparison to eternal glory, are, verse 17, light and momentary. The glory that is coming is far greater. It doesn't minimize the pain and the hardship, but it does provide a right perspective. Despite frequent setbacks, there's a sure and certain future. And without that perspective, we will give up speaking the gospel. We will lose heart. And it's not just grin and bear it, glumly waiting for the future. Rather, considering that resurrection future brings refreshment and renewal now. Now, inwardly, We are being renewed day by day, verse 16. Seeing today in the light of that future. And so we persevere. The remedy when we're tempted to lose heart is not to withdraw from serving Jesus, as some do. Rather, verse 18 tells us it is to look to the future that is eternal and unseen. Claypot ministry combines human weakness and divine power. It is the pattern established by Jesus himself in his earthly ministry, in his crucified death. It is the pattern Paul has known. Crucially, it is the pattern of ministry that has brought life to the Corinthian church. So it is of great concern that these Corinthians were in danger of being seduced away to a different sort of ministry. And since today people are likewise brought to life through such claypot gospel ministry, it's vital that you as a church maintain your confidence in what outwardly looks so weak. Now as then, with a power being seen as God's, the life of Jesus being seen in you, life eternal being brought to others, and a glorious future ahead. Here are reasons to know that God is at work in the midst of such weakness, and therefore we do not lose heart. Shall we pray?